Boys and girls, I'm going to talk to you this morning about good news. Okay? Some of you got a sheet. When you go back to your mums and dads, you can fill the sheet in. But on there is some good news. Now, I need some help because we're going to follow a story in the Bible. And I need your help to tell the grown-ups the story. Because I'm not sure the grown-ups knew it that well. I'm not sure you guys knew it that well either. So we're going to tell the story together. Okay? So I'm going to need some help. Who would like to help me? Who would like to be nice and safe in a city? Who? Come on, I'm three hands up. That'll do for now. That's a city gate. In you go. Can you go inside? One, two, three. Okay, brilliant. Now, the name of the city. Oh, by the way, all this armor, it's not for you. Okay. Yeah, I know that's there, I know. So I want you to imagine, because I want you to imagine you're not in a small space, okay? You are in a big space. It's big enough to have a whole city inside the walls, okay? And this city is called Jerusalem, okay? You live in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem has walls, usually to keep the people safe. Why would a city need walls to keep the people safe? What would keep people safe from? Thank you. Stray weapons would be one. Okay. What would you need? Why would a city need a wall to keep people inside it safe from? Any ideas? Yeah, in case someone comes and attacks the city, you've got a wall then. And that'll protect you a little bit. Yeah, it's really good. That's probably the main thing. Wild animals as well. Lions and bears and stuff like that. You don't want lions and bears in your bed, do you? No. You want to keep them outside. So that's why people build walls. Well, the problem for you, you can sit down if you want. The problem for you is that in this story, you're not safe inside. Okay? Something really scary is happening. You are surrounded by lots of nasty people. And I need lots of nasty people to come and be an army. Come on. Anybody want to? Come on in. Yeah. As soon as you saw the sword. Go on around there, Joel. Go on, Reuben. Anybody else? I've got a helmet for anybody. Anybody want a helmet? Come on in. Well, if you got one thing, that's probably enough. We'll see. Joel, can you just go around there for me? Sorry. Come on in. Okay. Anybody for a helmet? Come on. I need someone with not too big a head. It's not the biggest helmet in the world. Come on. Anybody want to wear a breastplate? No? Can I pop on your head? Fantastic. I tell you what. Can you hold that as well? Okay, you got it? There you go. Put that arm through. I don't want to do with that hand. Fantastic. Right, you go and stand over with your army mates. Anybody else? Boys, girls? Anybody else? I'm going to join the army, okay? We're from a place where we don't like Jerusalem. Lads, you're not supposed to be fighting each other. All right. Right, okay? We are fighting them, okay? We're from a place called Assyria. That's hundreds of miles that way in the north, okay? But we've come to take over, what's this city called again? Anybody remember? Jerusalem, okay? And you may well be sad because there'd be no wall knocking down today, mate, okay? What happens is we as an army surround the city, and the good news is we're not coming in. How about that? Yeah. The bad news is we're going to wait. And we're going to wait and wait and wait. And do you know what happens as we wait? You eat all the food in your kitchen and there's none left. And you drink all the water in the jugs and there's no water left. And we wait. We've got water and food, horses, chariots, spears, bows, swords, the whole lot. We've got everything that we need. Okay? And we will wait until you go thirsty. And we'll wait till you go hungry. And we'll wait till you die. How's that? Is that good news? That's terrible news, isn't it? That's terrible news. But that's what in the story, That's what this army comes and does. I wonder what you were looking at. Can you knock that off, please? Because they're paying more attention to themselves on the screen than they are to me telling the story. Thank you. Now, that's terrible news, isn't it? But that's where the story starts. We're going back to the Old Testament, and the Assyrians, the army, surrounding Jerusalem. Do you know what it's called? It's called a siege. A siege. We will stand outside. We'll sleep outside. We'll get up outside. We'll wait and wait and wait. What's wrong, Joseph? Joseph's asked, why don't we come in? Well, see, if we came in, we'd have to fight you. We might get hurt. Whereas if we just wait here, well, there's no fighting. We'll wait and wait. And soon enough, you lot. In the real story, they would have swords. That's why we wouldn't go in to fight. But we'll just stand here. We'll just wait for you to die. It's not fair, is it? It's not. Now then. That's the bad news. No. Oh. Do you know what happens? If you come out to steal our swords, we'll use our swords against you. So you're real, real big trouble. And the story today we're going to look at is about good news. It's about how you, Jerusalem, get rescued. That's what we're going to look at. Okay? Now, Jerusalem, stay there. Assyrian army, stay there. Okay? I'm just going to read to you. Grown-ups, this is a passage from the Bible, from Isaiah chapter 52. This is where the story comes, okay? This is where the story comes. I'm going to read these words to you, and then we're going to think about, not the siege, but we're thinking about how you're going to get saved from the siege, okay? You okay? Well, you're pretending. That's why you haven't got any windows, okay? Expectations of children today. Let me read to you. This is a wonderful story. Boys and girls, if you can see it, so you can follow these words. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. Good news of peace. Good news of salvation. The news that the God of Israel reigns. The watchmen shout and sing with joy before their very eyes. They see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has demonstrated his holy power before the eyes of all the nations. All the ends of the earth will see the victory of God. Now, boys and girls, that's a reading. It's a poem written by Isaiah. You just leave that wall alone, because that might just fall, okay? All right, good lads. That's a poem by Isaiah, and God is telling God's people, Jerusalem, through Isaiah, that they're going to be rescued, they're going to be saved. Talks about good news coming. Now, boys, go, Jerusalem was surrounded by hills, okay? So Jerusalem at the moment is surrounded by an army, but it's also surrounded by hills. And the story is that down one of these hills comes a messenger to Jerusalem. Now then, lads in Jerusalem, boys, if I was coming to you with a message, and I came to you and I looked like this, Joseph, Daniel, are you ready? Asher? If I came to you, I had a message for you, and I came to you like this. We've got something to say. Would you be expecting good news or bad news? Bad news, yeah. If I came to you... Good news, okay? That's exactly what's going on here. They see a messenger come, and they see the messenger's got joy written all over his face. He's got good news. I've got good news! And the great good news... Thank you, Nathan. Lovely. The great good news is that your God, the great good news is your God reigns. Now then, that's a special word. your God reigning means that these guys don't. Because they look strong and powerful, and there's lots of them in your imagination, and they surround your city, and it looks as if they're ruling, looks as if they're reigning, looks as if they're in charge. But the message is, the messenger comes down the hills, I've got good news, our God reigns. He's the one that's in charge of the whole thing. He's the one that's going to look after you. And more than reigning, he's actually returning. God's coming back to Jerusalem. Now that's good news for you guys, because it means God's going to come and save you. And it's bad news for all of you, because as big and as strong as you are, and as many as the army you've got, you're not big enough for God. You're not strong enough for God. And so the news comes, good news. He reigns, and he's returning. He's going to come and rescue you. And it's not because you're strong. It's not because you're good looking. It's not because you've been well behaved. It's because he loves you. That's how it's going to work. Now then, I think it's time you guys went back to your normal seats without your armour, if that's okay, and without knocking my beautiful city down. Thank you very much. Can you give me a round of applause? Brilliant. Thank you very much for your help. Okay. I'll just take these out. Boys and girls, there's a really good word that the Bible uses to talk about how God saves us. Okay? Are you listening? Philip, would you just mind putting the next clip on? Or the next, thank you. All right. The word that sometimes the Bible uses about how God saves us, because Israel was told, or Jerusalem was told, that God was going to come and save. It's really special. It's called redeem. God redeems us. Okay? It means lots of things. It means God's people are weak, like in Jerusalem, surrounded by an army, and they haven't got the strength to save themselves. But God's strong. That's what redeem means. We're weak, and God's strong. It also means that we are poor. Okay? So poor that actually we're prisoners. We've been sold into slavery. We're poor, but God pays. He's the rich one who buys us back and makes us his. We're weak, he's strong. We're poor, he pays. And something really good. Have you ever seen, I used to love watching Fireman Sam. Do you ever watch Fireman Sam? Do you not know what Fireman Sam, hands up, who Fireman Sam. There's a generation divide. Just to let you know. Fireman Sam is a brilliant fireman. Sometimes he's not saving people. He's saving, every now and again, he has to save a cat, doesn't he? He has to save a cat. What do cats do that need a fireman to save? They climb up a... They climb up a tree. And the fireman goes up and he gets the cat and he comes down. Now then, when he gets the cat, what does he do with the cat then? Takes it to the person who's lost it. In other words, he gives the cat over, doesn't he? He rescues the cat and then he gives the cat over. Do you know what, boys and girls? When God rescues us, he doesn't give us over. He holds on to us and he keeps us. And he keeps us safe in his hands forever and ever and ever. And that's one of the things that redeem means. We're weak, he's strong. We're poor, he pays. And the last thing it means is he stays with us forever and ever. He never hands us over. He never gives us away. He holds on to us all the time. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So Jerusalem, we're told, the city of Jerusalem was told, there's a mighty, mighty Savior coming. He's going to rescue them. He reigns, not the Assyrian army. He's going to come and rescue them. Okay, and that's what happened. God came and rescued his people and saved them. And do you remember the messenger came with lots of joy, thumbs up, big smiles? Do you know what happened? The people in Jerusalem had lots of smiles, not just in their faces, but in their hearts. God had come and rescued them. He had made them his. Again, do you remember that word? He redeemed them. They were weak, he was strong. They were poor, he paid. And he stayed with them forever. He redeemed them, he rescued them. Now then, one of the next, I need your help again, boys and girls, because this is something really important hopefully try and understand together, okay? God's people were in Jerusalem, surrounded by the army, not just because the army was stronger than them, it was, but actually they had chosen to turn their backs on God. They had chosen to not listen to God. And life without God means life without God's special goodness. And so God gave them to sadness, without any of the joy of knowing him. But whenever he came to rescue them, he was showing them that he really did love them. Whenever he came to rescue them, he was showing them he really did love them. Can I have someone who's got strong arms? The only job you have to do is to hold this book. That's all you have to do. Reuben, your hand up. Come on, good lad. Thank you. Your job is to stand there, okay? Boys and girls, the Bible is one big story of rescue. Of God coming and rescuing his people. Do you remember that word? Redeem. God's people are weak, he's strong. They're poor, he pays. And when he saves them, he stays with them forever. That's what the whole story of the Bible is. Can you just hang on there for me? Good man, okay. The Bible is one story of one big rescue, but actually there's lots and lots and lots of smaller stories of rescue. Who wants to come and hold this one for me? Come on in. Thank you. Can you stand there for me? Good lad. Anybody want to hold this one? Come on in, Joe. I need lots of holders of books. Thank you. Anybody want to hold this one? Come on, Daniel. And Daniel. Yeah, plenty of books. Come on, keep coming. That's it. Can you come this side for me? I'll explain why I'm moving you side by side. Anybody else want to hold this? Come on, Sam, thank you. Anybody else want to hold one? You don't have to do anything other than just hold. Sam, can you just come and squeeze here for me, please, mate? I've got a book about the birth of Jesus. Come on then, Ryan. Ryan, can you come all the way over here, mate? Is that okay? Boys, can you just move your feet so Ryan can get past? You come this way, Zach, as well. Good lads. Zach, can you hold that for me, sunshine? Good lads. Well done, Ryan. All that way. Good boy. Can you hold that? That's it. Can you just come this way, Zach, for me? Just come that way. Good lads. Got two more books. Anybody interested? Come on in. One of you on that side. Gabriel, you go that side. And you're that side, okay? Now then, boys and girls. The Bible is one big story of one big rescue. But, Daniel, do you hold the book so we can see it all the way around? Good lad. Okay. But you see, all these other little stories, they're all from the Bible as well. And they're all stories of rescue. They're all stories of God loving his people and coming and saving his people. So this one is about Jesus healing a man. Okay? The story of Zacchaeus, he makes friends with him and he forgives him. This one, can I just have a look at that one, Zach? This one, just hold it for me, Sunshine. Thank you very much. This one's a story of Jesus making friends with Mary and Martha and teaching them what's really important. Ryan, can I just have a look at that one? That's a really special story. That's about Jesus coming to earth to be our Savior. There's a stable and a manger at Christmas time. It's about Jesus healing a man from being blind. This is a story about a man called Gideon, where God used Gideon to rescue his people. Sorry to interrupt your reading, Joseph. There's a story about Moses, when God rescued God's people from Egypt. There's a story of Joseph, of how God saved God's people by bringing them into Egypt and keeping them safe through the life of Joseph. There's a story of Daniel, where God rescued Daniel from the lion's den. There's a story of Esther, where God rescued his people when a man wanted to kill all of them in one day. All of them are stories of rescue. All of them are stories of God redeeming us. Okay? So all of it is one big story, but there are lots of stories. And this story we've read today about Jerusalem and Assyria and the army and the news coming and God coming and saving is another small story of rescue. Now then, Reuben, you've held that long enough, mate. Good lad. Thank you very much. Can you come and put your books on top of that for me, please? Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Joel. Thank you for your help. Keep going. You can read it later, mate, okay? Good man. Thank you very much. Now then, just have a sit down. One of the ways, grown-ups, this is for you as well. One of the ways we can spot how all the small stories speak of the one big story is that God uses the same words. Okay? So when the messenger was coming down the hill to Jerusalem, I've got good news for you. And he was full of joy. Let's have a look at the screen, Philip, if we could. Next screen. Do you recognize what comes next? Let's see. Boys and girls, I want you to have a think. Daniel, I want you to have a think about who might have said these words. Okay? You do know it's 30 sleeps to Christmas, don't you? That's a clue. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Does that sound familiar? Good news of great joy for all the people. Any idea who said that? Any idea? Who's that? Sam, I think your hand was up first. Spot on. It was the angel speaking to people. Does anybody know which people he was speaking to? The shepherds. The angel came to the shepherds and said, I've got good news for you. Don't be afraid, because they were scared. I've got good news for you. Good news of great joy. Well, they're the same words that the messenger used. I've got good news. And he was joyful. Talked about God saving. That's one of the ways we can see how all the little stories fit into the big story. Every time we hear of God saving, we're supposed to think of God saving through Jesus. Every time we think about God rescuing his people, we're supposed to think of Jesus rescuing his people from dying for them on the cross. Do you know, as I was reading the story this week about the city in Jerusalem and Assyria and the army, I was thinking, how does God do it? Because we're never actually told how God does it. This is not a trick question. What comes after number 52? 53. Brilliant. Spot on. Number 53 comes after 52, doesn't it? The story we're looking at today is in Isaiah chapter 52. Well, in Isaiah chapter 53, we're told how God's going to rescue his people. Isaiah 53 is a really special chapter. It's about someone coming from God with a special job. I'm going to tell you what Isaiah 53 is, and I want you to think who it's about. It's about someone coming from God with a special job. The special job is to die. They're going to die because of the sins of other people, not his own sin. But even though he dies, he's still going to live. And in living, he's going to reign. And in reigning, he's going to bring people to be friends with God. Who do you think that's about? Does that ring a bell? No, good try. Isaiah 53 is about Jesus coming with a special job from God to die for our sins, to save us, and to make us God's friends. So how does God rescue his people who are in a mess? Well, he sends Jesus. He sends Jesus. Philip, could you put the Acts slide on, please? Thank you. In the story, Jerusalem is rescued because God comes. In the big story, God's people are rescued because God comes. In the story, it's a story of joy because God comes and reigns over his people. In the big story, it's a story of joy because when Jesus comes to save, he says it gives joy to those who believe in him. There's a little story, lots of them. There's a big story. Boys and girls, grown-ups, doesn't matter how old you are, the big story of the Bible is that God rescues through Jesus Christ, the servant who came to die for the sins, not his, but yours and mine, and to live and to reign over us. It's a big story of a big rescue. And that word redeem is a really big idea. We are weak, God is strong. We are poor, and God pays to set us free. When he rescues us, he stays with us forever and ever. It's a big rescue that he offers. And it just seems right that we pause and give thanks to God now. We're going to pray using these. So just sort of show them up if you would, if that's okay. We're going to adore God. We're going to confess to God. We're going to give thanks to God. And we're going to say please to God. We've used these before. We adore God, boys and girls, because we love you. We love you. Okay? And we confess. That means we say sorry. Now, in the past, we've done that. I'm going to do this today. We say sorry for the things that we've done, or it's made God sad and angry and deserves us to be not friends with God. We say sorry to God for those things. When God's people, Israel, turned their back on him, they came back to God and they said sorry to him, and he forgave them. And then we're going to say thank you to God. Thank you for sending Jesus for such a big rescue. And they're going to say please. And there's a real mixture of people here this morning with different kinds of needs. We're going to ask God to help us in different kinds of ways. If you want, boys and girls, as I pray, I'm going to follow those through. You can keep your eyes open. I'll do the hand actions to see where we are. If you'd like, you close your eyes. Sometimes closing our eyes and help us to think about Jesus is a really helpful way of praying. So let's come to God in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we want to thank you. We want to say that we love you. All through the Bible, there are lots and lots of rescues. And the whole way through the Bible, there's one big rescue that you give. We thank you that you are a God who rescues. We love you. Would you help us to love you for the rescue that you've made? For that redeeming, that paying the price when we were poor, of being strong when we were weak, of staying with us forever and ever and ever. We love you for that rescue. Lord Jesus Christ, we want to say sorry. We want to confess the things that we've done wrong. The things that we've done wrong. Maybe not being excited about who you are and what you've done. I want to say sorry for that. Sorry for the things that we said, perhaps to our mums and dads, that we shouldn't have said. Perhaps to our brothers and sisters. Things that we said, things that we've done, to hurt them rather than to help them. To cause them pain rather than show them love. Would you forgive us for those things? And would you help us? Would you help us to grow, that we don't do those things again, but we show them your love? Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and ask you for forgiveness. We thank you we can come to you and ask you for everything that's on our hearts. We thank you are a God who is so big, so great, so good, cares for all our needs. And so we say, please. Lord Jesus, there are people today who are here and they're sad. They're sad because they're grieving. Would you draw near to them and comfort them? Would you show them your love as you walk through them day by day? May they know your strength. We pray, Lord, for people who are scared. Would you give them courage to face the things that are uncertain or that they don't like? We pray, Father, you would help all of us to hear the message of a great rescuer and to believe it. To believe it so that we change our mind about Jesus and trust you. Not just for today, but for every day. Would you help us to do that? And would you help us as we grow as followers of you to be boys and girls, men and women, who grow and grow and grow, knowing that you are a great and good God. Would you help us in all these ways? And hear us, we ask. Amen. Now, I've just got one more thing to share with you. So if you can put on to that last. And again, please. The story finishes with the messengers coming with joyful news of God rescuing the city. And then there's a line. All the ends of the earth will see the victory of God. I was reading that this morning and thinking, hang on a second. Jerusalem's a small city in a small country in one part of the world. How's all the ends of the earth going to hear about this victory? And then I realize he's not talking about that victory. He's talking about the victory of Jesus. And how all the ends of the earth are to hear about what Jesus has done. Boys and girls, I want you to imagine, in a few minutes' time, we're going to sing, we're going to pray, and then we're going to go out and have some juice and biscuits. I want you to imagine that on the plate is your dad's favourite biscuit, or your mum's favourite biscuit, or your granddad's favourite biscuit, okay? And as you pick up the biscuit, you think, oh, wow, I've got to tell them. I've got to tell them that their favourite biscuit is here, okay? There's some dad in this building who loves fig rolls, okay? Can you imagine? I know, yeah. Can you imagine Joseph and Daniel coming to the plate and saying, "Fig rolls, Dad, there's fig rolls." Okay. For me, is anything really? Chocolate cake's good. Dad, there's chocolate cake. Come and have some chocolate cake. What are they doing? They're spreading the news. Where do you hear this? Where do you hear? Come and see. Come and bite. Come and have. They're spreading the news. There's a lovely little phrase in the reading that I read to you that gets picked up. Do you remember I told you about some of the words that God uses in some of the stories he uses in the big story? Talks about the messengers having, what do you hear? Beautiful feet. How about that? Now then, don't know about you. I'm not particularly proud of my feet. They're small, ugly, and hairy. Okay? I'm glad I wear shoes. Okay? I can't imagine many of us are all that proud of our feet, are we? But here, in this story, feet are described as beautiful. Okay? Now, not describing feet. It's the fact that when they come with good news. And their coming is brilliant. They're really glad. The people in Jerusalem are really glad to see the messengers come down the hill going, "Got good news for you. God reigns. He's coming to rescue you." And so it's a poetic way of saying what they share has been brilliant news. Well, this story in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before Jesus, isn't the only time that phrase is used. Later on in the New Testament, after Jesus goes back up to heaven, people who are the spreaders of the good news of Jesus are described as having beautiful, beautiful feet. Because they're bringing good news to people who haven't heard it yet. Boys and girls, you can have beautiful feet. Grown-ups, your feet can be beautiful. As we bring the message of Jesus Christ to people who have not heard it, God sees that we are welcome messengers to people in real need. And so, as we receive the news that God rescues through Jesus, that God reigns and he's returning to rescue us, as we receive that news and believe it for ourselves, actually we become messengers of the news. Do you know what, boys and girls? I grew up like many of you. I grew up going to a church, quite similar to this one, just in a different country. And I can look back and I think about the minister of the time. I think about my youth workers. I think about Sunday school teachers, some of my family members. I think about people who played football with me, people who went on runs with me. And lots of them told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, those people are really, really special. Because they told me about Jesus. And so the beautiful feet bit, they're special to me because they told me about Jesus. Do you know what, boys and girls, grown-ups too? We can be like that. As we care for our children as they grow up and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Junior church teachers, club leaders, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, if linked to, with blood or not, it doesn't matter. As we share the good news, we're described as people with good-looking feet over that. Because we're passing on a really necessary and very special message. Boys and girls, if you've not picked up the sheet today on the way in, pick it up on the way home. On the back of it, there's a little bit about sharing your faith with other people and asking God for courage. Because it's scary. telling people about Jesus can be scary sometimes. We can ask God for courage that we would tell people about Jesus so that they might hear, they might receive, and they might tell other people as well. It's a really special job, that. But God gives it to all of us. So boys and girls, think about that. I encourage you to live like that. And grown-ups too. Grown-ups, if you're Christians, you've received the best news in the world. And like a little child who finds a biscuit, their dad's favorite biscuit on a plate, they're not going to keep their mouth shut. They're going to spread the news. And so as recipients of the best news in the world, we can come to God and ask Him for strength and courage to spread that news to people who have not heard. What a great job, eh? What a great role He's given us. What a great God He is, that He makes people who were once foreigners from Him, away from Him, haters of Him, not just lovers of Him, but actually spreaders of His good message. That's remarkable. What a God.